Welcome to this interview. I'm Megan Gibson, co-host of the Trauma Super Conference. Today, I'm speaking with Melanie Tonya Evans, a global narcissistic abuse recovery expert and the creator of the Quanta Freedom Healing Method and the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. Melanie's leading-edge healing methods have helped thousands of people make astounding full recoveries from toxic relationship abuse. Her work has now touched the lives of over 15 million people in more than 130 countries worldwide, and her abuse recovery system is recommended by doctors, psychologists, therapists, and renowned relationship experts from all over the world. In 2018, Melanie released her book, You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse, the number one system for recovering from toxic relationships. Thank you so much for joining me, Melanie.
Thank you for having me, Megan.
So I wanted to check and see how you became a narcissistic abuse recovery expert, such a specific expertise.
Well, Megan, I don't think anybody chooses this job, or right. I certainly didn't think I was going to grow up one day and be a narcissistic abuse recovery expert. So in these callings and when things choose you, it's usually because it happened to you. And that was exactly my story. And when it happened to me, I just really thought that a narcissist was a conceited individual. I had no idea of the depth or the gravity of it. And my story is very similar to a lot of people's stories. I'd had relationship challenges. I'd done a lot of self-personal work, and I ended up marrying who I thought was the love of my life. Everything just seemed to be the most perfect fit. And it was astounding because at 35 years of age, I thought for the first time, I actually really want to marry somebody. Here he is, my Prince Charming. And I had this whirlwind romance, and we ended up getting married on a boat after only 4 months, which was very not like me at all. And there had been warning signs, Megan. There had been things that I couldn't piece together because they were very unusual. And as the mask started coming down, rather than just like a look or a comment or something that I thought, oh, this is a bit off, it escalated to a point where there was no missing that I was deeply in emotional, mental, physical, sexual, financial abuse that I never believed in a million years I would have ever tolerated. And in fact, I'd looked at other people going through similar things because I was in personal development and I was a coach and I'd been helping people for a long time. And I'd always thought, well, you just have to honor and respect yourself and leave. So it shocked me how addicted I was to him, how I would. And I was doing therapy and healings, and I was not lazy in trying to work myself out and empower myself. And as I used to say, get it through my head. And I would get away, and then I would relapse like a drug addict. And it would either be his hoovering, where he would tell me exactly what I wanted to hear, and I think, thank God, he's got it. You know, he's taking responsibility. Or I would miss him so much. I felt like I was dying. And this dance went on for years. And then what ended up happening was one day I was in one of my escape episodes. I was driving to where I was renting at the time, because I would get away and then I'd relinquish. And the word narcissist came into my head literally out of nowhere. And nobody had said this to me, no therapist, no anything. Anyway, I went home and I Googled, and as I checked off, I nearly fell off my chair. I'm like, oh my God. And then I started researching, is there hope for these people? Is there this, is there that? And then I sought out a therapist who purportedly was one of the best in Australia to help people recover from these relationships. And he had at one stage agreed to see her. She said to me, there's only really four ways that this is going to end. Either he will kill you, you'll kill him, you're going to have a complete psychotic breakdown, or you'll end up with a terminal disease because of the stress. Mm. Because at that stage, I was a walking skeleton. I shook. I had complicated post-traumatic stress disorder. My hair had fell out in clumps. I was 40 years of age. I looked 120, and it was horrific. So anyway, even with that, I was convinced I'd be the one spiritual teacher who could fix him. So I
had deep enough and great enough and developed enough that you could bring him back from the other side of narcissism.
That somehow I could get my boundaries right, or love would conquer all, or I could use law of attraction, you know. So I put everything to the test. I tried so hard. And, well, that didn't work out very well. And eventually I did, because when she said the psychotic breakdown, I said, what does that look like? And she said, well, okay, well, I've had clients that were throwing everything off their balcony, and they had to be taken away from a CAT team, and it took them 2 years to get out of an institution. I'm like, anyway, it actually happened. My brain snapped one day. And when it happened, there was no missing it. And I always remember I was at my college, and because I was a spiritual teacher, I had this kind of double life. Like, I'm a spiritual teacher, I'm helping people heal and evolve, and yet I'm going home to the house of Satan and pretending my life is fine. So I had all these people around me in the kitchen, and I'd just gone through a horrible, abusive, whatever. And I left my body, and I was watching from on the top of the ceiling, looking down at everybody. And actually, I've never quite shared this before, but it's, you know, it's not even in my book. And I thought, that's very odd. And I just thought, I really need to get out of here, and I need to get home. So I kind of small talked, I walked to my car, and I was still above my body. And then I came into my body to drive home. As I was driving, all these visions, horrible, of me being in a car accident and smashed up, and I got home. The visions didn't stop, eyes open or closed, and I thought, okay, this is it. A friend
this
got
is what
me.
It looks like. This is what I've been warned about, right?
And it was kind of weird. I was kind of like detached in it, going, okay, well, my brain has snapped. It was quite strange. So then anyway, she took me to an emergency, and then I got put into like a psych assessment, and they said, all right, well, you've had a complete, and they tested my adrenals. I'd had a complete adrenal psychotic breakdown. And I was told I would need 3 antipsychotics to ever function again. And I'm not even good with Dispirin or aspirin.
Right.
I went home, and at that stage, Mika and I decided this is game over. I'd already lost everything. I'd lost properties. I'd lost associates. I'd virtually lost my business. I'd lost my son at that stage. I'd lost my family. I'd lost friends. I'd lost everything. And I thought, as a really strong A-type personality, I had always been able to get up and go again. And now I couldn't. And I knew that. So I was lying on my bed under morphine to stop the psychotic episodes. And I was working at how to remove myself from the planet in the kindest way possible for everybody in my life. That was my one mission. This voice in my head kept saying to me, Melanie, there's another way, there's another way, there's another way. I thought it was my madness speaking. It would not stop. So I walked into the bathroom. I hit the floor. I was put my arms up. I was very spiritual, always had been. And I just screamed out, I can't do this anymore. Help me. And I didn't do it to be saved. I just did it because there was nothing else to do. And what happened was, it was like, Rachel, my head parted. And this awareness, sorry, Megan. And this awareness came in that was so startling clear. It was the greatest clarity I'd ever had. And maybe you have to be completely out of your mind to get the truth.
And to be open to receiving it, right?
And what it was this download of understanding of this actually had nothing to do with him. He had actually showed up in my life as a catalyst to show me all the ways that I had been in relationship with myself. So for example, he was so hard on me. I'd always been hard on myself. I used to scream at him, "You don't even know me. You don't even know who I am." Had I spent time self-soothing, self-partnering, being my own best companion, supporter, healer? I thought I had, but I hadn't. And on and on and on and on and on all this went. So really what it had done, Megan, is it, because I'd been the victim. I'm such a good person and look at what he's done to me. That was my story. And that was the story everybody was telling me, even my therapist. And all of a sudden it was like, this has all happened for you, not to you. For you to finally turn within and address those deepest layers of those unhealed parts of you that you have never been brought to your knees to accept and heal up to wholeness. And that was startling for me. Then the most startling part of it was I got catapulted literally into a vision in the future where I was as I am now. I felt whole, expanded, safe in my body, happy in my body, in life, to be on this planet, connected to source. And I'd never felt those feelings ever. Like I might've had a glimpse and that was ever it. Mm. And it was this knowing that I'd got there. And the voice in my life said, this is what is awaiting for you in your future. If you choose this, or you can leave and do it in another lifetime. And interesting, I'd been a past life regression therapist for decades anyway to this point. And I knew if I don't heal this, I'm going to come back and do it again. But I just thought I was too far gone. I'm just going to have to do that. And it said, no, you're going to break through this time if you choose this mission. So anyway, I chose the mission. I said, okay, I sign up. And then I was thrown back into my emaciated, shaking. I was thrown back into that. And I wasn't healed by any stretch, but the whole perspective had changed. And from that day forward, I chose the mission. And sometimes it was second by second, inch by inch for a long time. It really was. I was living in the bowels of hell, trying to survive myself. But what happened was from that moment forward, it wasn't about him anymore. It was about me. And I held no contact. He became irrelevant. And it doesn't mean that the trauma and the obsessions and the things didn't come, but I was fully, fully dedicated to the self-partnering, to rather than try to change it out there, to fix it in here. And that started, and I went drug-free. The next day, I had an appointment, which was all going to be about the meds and what we're going to do. And I don't know how it happened because it was a miracle. I still had that much clarity from that experience that I didn't share. I was able to talk them out of that to give me a window for them to allow me to see how it would go without it, which shouldn't have happened, but it did. And I never went on medication. And the journey took me on body modalities, trauma recovery from the inside out, really addressing it from a somatic emotional level. And then I got into a lot of studies with Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton and things like tapping and theta healing and kinesiology, which was probably my biggest breakthrough at that point, and on and on and on and on and on it went to finding the deepest layer and causes of trauma. And that led finally to an experience where I had got out of PTSD. I was thriving. I lost everything. I really did. But I got my soul and me. And his attacks and the things that he was doing, which were horrific, the more I got me, the more they dissolved away. The smear campaigns and things, people came back into my life. And I had the absolute evidence of so within, so without, that if I actually address it from my inner universe and start healing up those trauma programs to wholeness, the shifts on the outside are happening all by themselves. So I was starting for the first time to know myself as a trauma recovery individual, resetting back to source flowing through me as me, giving me access to shift the field as the creator I am. And that kind of led to breakthroughs everywhere apart from agoraphobia, which was this deep fear of out in open spaces, everything's going to cave in and crush me. It was just so huge because he'd been very dangerous. And what happened was finally I'd actually put together healing processes that were past life healing, timeline healing, kinesiology, theta healing combinations called holographic healing that I worked on myself and other people for massive results. But strangely, some people would have core wounds that we just couldn't shift, and I couldn't shift agoraphobia. So I had a girlfriend who was in Thailand, and she said, come over, have a holiday. I'm like, I can't go to Thailand with agoraphobia. She said, something's telling me you have to do this. So I went medication free, and most of it's a blur because the trauma was so intense. I was literally just sobbing into a cardigan and shaking the whole way. It was so bad. And eventually I got to Koh Samui. I nearly collapsed off the plane. I couldn't even walk with the trauma. She picked me up and scooped me up. We went back to a beautiful resort, and it took me about 3 days to recover. And then after that, she was out and about in life, and she goes, come out. And I go, I can't walk out these gates. I can't. I love it here. I'm so blissed out in peace and expansive here, but I can't get past those gates. And anyway, she would go out every day. And one day I was in the hotel room, and I just decided, I knew enough about quantum physics, about neuroscience. I knew enough about trauma recovery. If I can find the core wounds of this on the timeline and I can release them and bring in source to replace and heal what I can't, I can reset back to my true essence, which is I'm safe in my body. I'm an infinite, eternal being connected to source and God, and I am flourished and nourished and protected as I am, regardless of what's going on out there. I knew it was possible, but I hadn't found the key. So what happened was I'm in there in the hotel room, and I set a very clear intention. I am going to open my mind and my heart, and I'm going to get the answer. So I did, and I sat down, and I just tingle every time I think of this because it's like it was yesterday, and it was now 13 years ago. So I started taking dictation, and as I'm writing, I'm like, this is it. I knew. So I'm writing down this healing code, and it was still a combination of past timeline therapy, kinesiology, theta, but other stuff I'd never heard of, but I knew I already knew it. It was already coded in me somewhere. I wrote it down, and that was quantum freedom healing. That was the first day it was born. I applied it to myself for 2 hours, and I found deep past life trauma, survival traumas, collective traumas. If I'm myself, I'm going to be annihilated. That was the bottom line. And I got all of it out, and I walked out those front gates. And I don't know if you've been to Koh Samui, like the mainstream.
Not yet.
Crazy. It's crazy. I was out there playing in life, hanging out with people, dancing, talking, going to markets. And I had never, ever, ever felt like that in my entire life. I felt like I was at one with everything, and I was in the wave of life force, being life force. And anyway, my friend came home to the hotel room, and she's like, what has all these shopping bags around me? Shopping in Koh Samui is so fun. And she's like, what? I'm like, you're not going to believe this. I said, I don't have agoraphobia. And she goes, what? I said, I found the key. So anyway, the rest of the holiday was amazing. I got back to Australia. I had a whole heap of clients. I said, we're not doing holographic healing anymore. We're going to do this. And then what I found was people were having crazy fast shifts. And I had no idea what was going to happen next. But what happened next was a lot of these people absolutely were abuse victims. So they're working with DV workers, domestic violence workers, and they had their own therapist and their own psychologist and da-da-da, right? These people started ringing me and saying, what happened to my client? What happened? Right. And it spread like wildfire. So in about 3 weeks, and family and friends and So in about 3 weeks, I was inundated and I was booked out 3 months ahead. And I was working 7 days a week because I wanted to heal the world. And I'm like, and then I'm getting phone calls and then I'm getting messages from overseas and just this thing went crazy. I had no idea at the time that that was ever going to happen. I really, it caught me. So I thought I need to create a program because I can't do all this one-on-one.
Right. And it's not scalable, right? You're only one person.
Yeah, exactly. So I created the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Program. And again, it was a very channeled experience. I knew how to put the energy imprints into it. And the bottom line too was I know that when my brain broke back in that experience of that breakdown, from ever since then, I could see and feel and know things in the energetic field that I'd never been able to access from a logical, something opened up. So I was channeling crazily ever since. And so I channeled how to put the energy imprints in there and create it in a recording. And what blew me away, you know, humbly, was that people were actually getting the identical results out of the healings, but even more so because they could do multiple healings in a week instead of just one session a week with me. And really kind of, you know, the rest is history. Apart from, you know, now we have a staff of, I think, with MTE, you know, my son is CEO, he's amazing. And we have a staff of about 18 people all over the world, and we're helping people from over 130 different countries. And, you know, and I just feel so blessed. I just, because I never knew. At first I was just saving my own life. I had no idea that this was going to be, you know, a mission that I'd always wanted to do that I didn't know. Like my whole life, I'd always thought, well, there's something I know I want to do, but I don't know what it is. Like, that's not it. That's not it. One day, hopefully, and sure enough. But what I do know about everybody who's been narcissistically abused is we are absolutely going through the bowels of hell in the most unspeakable trauma where life cannot go on as normal anymore. And it's such a powerful opportunity, as hard as it is, to turn inwards and finally free ourselves from the limitations and the trauma that we've got as the human experience, to be able to free ourselves to something much higher. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. Is not about mere survival. This is about true thriving, not despite what happened to you, but because of what happened for you. And that's what my whole mission is about.
I'm so glad you shared it because that's powerful. And there's a lot, you said a lot that I need to go back to. We need to circle back to some things. Sure, and I related to so much of what you said as well. But I know everybody that's watching this is still like captivated by the story. Like they're all here, but I do feel like we need to circle back and just talk about like, sure, what is narcissism? It's become a very popular term. People like to call
it's thrown around a lot.
Right. But there is actually like a very specific kind of definition of what narcissism is. And totally. I would love if you could help people at home understand if they're in a relationship with a narcissist, what does that look like? What does it feel like?
I'd love to help you. You're right. Because a lot of people throw that word around and there are degrees, but really what I want to talk about is narcissistic personality disorder.
Right.
Okay. So what that looks like, well, first of all, when you're arguing with somebody or you're trying to confront somebody with narcissistic personality disorder, you will literally feel like you're losing your mind because they argue in very, very defensive ways. And I think it's important to get clear about that. So what they will do is they don't take responsibility. So they're going to blame you. And it's kind of like, if you say, well, if you approach them and you say, well, you know, that wasn't okay, it'll be like, well, what about what you do? or they'll minimalize it and they'll say, look, you're making it up. That's nothing. So you've got to get very, very clear. Narcissists are in it for themselves. And of course, at the start, they can be very charming. And this is where it's a little hard to understand.
I was going to say, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's very charisma important. And charm are a huge part of narcissism.
Huge. Huge.
And which is why people are like, oh, this is so charming, or this person is so skilled with people and everyone wants to be around them. And so how on earth could that be narcissism? Yeah.
Exactly. They are. Because, and this is the problem, people see the definitions and they say, well, but he or she wasn't that, so they can't be a narcissist. But in fact, the very opposite is true, because a narcissist, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, really what we've got here is somebody who is completely divorced from their true self. Somewhere in their life, consciously or unconsciously, they made a decision, as me, I can't get my needs met. So therefore, I'm going to kill off my true self, completely abandon it, and create a fictitious character in its place. Now, that fictitious character is not connected to source, so it doesn't feel this wholeness or this peace. It's like a black hole. It needs to consume energy, attention, life force, stuff, materialism, acclaim constantly. So power. To survive, the narcissist is the ultimate drug addict. They need outside energy and attention to feel even remotely okay, as a drug addict does. So the narcissist will do whatever it takes to get that. But what they need to do that is secure a drug source, which is a source of supply of the drug, which is narcissistic supply, stuff, acclaim, attention, which means a person. So whether it be a business partner, a friendship, a love relationship, they have got to secure that person. So how do they secure that person? Think of a predator. A predator is walking through a jungle looking for a food source. What's the food source going to be? It's going to be, and I'm just going to be really honest with everybody out there, because we need to get real about this. The food source is going to be a gazelle with a limp. What's the limp? It means somewhere in you where you don't feel whole, you don't feel at one, you're carrying a past hurt that's you've never healed. And I was that person. So what happens is a narcissist goes, okay, well, this could be fresh supply. I'm going to zoom in and I'm going to look you in the eye and I'm going to mirror some body language and I'm going to act really open-hearted and attentive and loving and beautiful. And very quickly, I want to find out what your limp is. I want to find out your wound. So in a dating situation, a narcissist will say, well, what's happened in your previous relationships? And if you were to say, well, you know, my long-term partner cheated on me. And the narcissist will look you in the eyes and breathe deeply into you and say, I just can never believe how people do that. I am monogamy is such a huge thing for me. I can't believe anybody would do that to you. Like, and they will convince you that monogamy is their value. And you think you've hit pay dirt. You feel like a person in the desert who's found their oasis. Mm-hmm. So they get in very, very quickly. Or let's say, you know, you have never felt met. You felt invisible. You felt like you're not important. The narcissist even intuitively works this out very quickly. Their very survival depends on it. So the narcissist will show up like you are the only person in the room. That you are so, and again, you found your oasis in a business deal. If you are too scared to go and knock on doors and show up and put yourself out there, the narcissist will say, well, I'm your front man. I'm your front runner. I love that stuff. So that's how I hope everybody's getting this, because what a narcissist does, they will grant you the pieces of yourself that you think are missing or you can't heal. They're your savior. So they get in. You trust them. You let them in your front door, into your body, your soul, your finances, your life very quickly. They've got you. Then we have bait and switch. So what happens with a narcissist is once the and you will see the cracks. But what happens is they will go from the person that was adoring and soothing your wounds to the person who starts smashing them. And that is how they keep you hooked, because you want to go back to that original person. But also too, at the quantum level, we have inner love codes, which are our stuff from our past, our family, our past lives, our genetic makeup, all of that, whereby the people I love invalidate me, the people I love replace me, the people I love, whatever they do, they pretend to be the very opposite. They get in, and then you find out they are actually the match to your love code. So they're not the healer of your wounds. They're actually the messenger of them. And at the highest level of what's really going on here is this is the opportunity, and it's so hard to do because we're so hooked and trauma bonded, is to let go and come back to ourselves. So to get back to the original question, how do we know? How we know is that I'm just going to give it to you straight. You're actually not going to know. Your defense against a narcissist is not about you knowing the narcissist. It's about you knowing yourself. So what we have to do as grown-up adults starting to thrive and take responsibility for our lives is due diligence. And I love this story because my partner that I've been with 3 years, great guy, fantastic, and I've had a journey. But when we started off, it was about platonic. I was very thriving in the world. I was traveling overseas and doing this and doing that and doing the other. And my life continued. I continued my life, and he was very comfortable and beautiful and attentive, but able to give me space. A narcissist would never do that. A narcissist, like a predator, needs to use less energy than to get the feed. Otherwise, the predator can't continue on in life. So if you have boundaries with a narcissist, if you were to meet somebody, they're going to try and love bomb you, charm you, and get you to open the gates for them to get the Trojan horse in very, very quickly. And what you need to do is very much be connected to your gut and your values and your truth. And you say, no, I'm sorry, I can't see you Tuesday night. No, you don't get a key to my house. Don't be ridiculous. I've only known you a month. No, we're not going to bed. I actually get to know people's characters and values before I have sex with people. You know, no, you're not going to be my business partner. You can have that role. And by the way, I want your references and your credentials. No, I'm not going to have you do that thing for me unless we're under a contract. And this is the thing. Good, healthy people actually totally respect that, right, like that, and are attracted to people who value themselves. But we've come from that whole old paradigm. Oh, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to rock the boat. I just want to keep them happy. I don't want to offend them. And I was that person, the people pleaser, and my life got smashed so often. So it's our development, you know. And another, there was a time I was on a date, third date. He was wonderful, lovely. And anyway, the mask was slipping a bit, and I'm good at this. I was asking questions about his mum. Yeah, that was a tick. You know, his workmates, and he started to say some quite nasty things about his workmates. I went to the bathroom, came back, and he said, well, how do you think our third date's going? I said, well, actually, those disparaging remarks about your workmates, they actually, they concern me, or something like that. Anyway, I watched him go from charm to this demon, and he banged the table and stood up. How dare you speak to me like that? And lost it. The date's over. Now inside, I'm like, ooh, there's a narcissist just being ignited.
Close call. Yeah.
Exactly. And I walked to my car punching the air with excitement because I thought, you know what, Mel, the old you, you would have gone to the bathroom and gone, oh, everybody can have a bad day, but there's so many lovely things about him. So really what I'm saying to everybody is when we get into our development and when we really take it on to honor our gut and to show up and speak up and question and get past the fears of crap, which is criticism, rejection, abandonment, and punishment, I call it the fears of crap. When we've healed that within, if you show up as yourself in your truth, you will flush these people out. Because yes, when you get to see a narcissist and you're really in there, it's often you are so trauma bonded and hooked, you've got to crawl out of there and then do a lot of work to heal it. And really, we all probably need to do that to come home to ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. If we're on this journey, we do. This is why you can't just. So, yes, you're going to see circular arguments that make your head spin. They bring in allies. They go off topic. They try to trigger you. It's like trying to argue with a five-year-old in an adult's body. And nobody argues like that unless they're personality disordered. That's the truth. This person will not take responsibility for what they've done to you. They don't care about your feelings. They're highly entitled. They're very manipulative. They pathologically lie. And you will catch them out with that. They can be malicious. They will smear your reputation to people. They will get people on side. They will triangulate you against people. So they build allies to make you feel like your life is getting less and less and less, and gaslighting you. So you feel like you're the bad one, you're the wrong one, you're the sick one. And you will end up fighting back in ways where you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, what have I become? I must be a narcissist. I'm a demon because I can't even believe I would stoop that low. So you end up really hating yourself. It's just so tough. And the narcissist will guilt you and scare you and threaten you into handing over more and more and more pieces of your resources in your life. Narcissists are very expensive. So they're like a big vacuum that is sucking your energy, and they will completely do the opposite of what you want. So, you know, if you love romance and sex, they'll withhold. If you don't want to have romance and sex every night of your life, then they will pester you and keep pushing you. Narcissists love. See, this is the thing you have to understand. When somebody is disconnected from their true inner being, we could probably call them a dark soul. And what feeds them is negativity and pain. They actually love that. So that energizes them. That feeds them. For us, it rips us to pieces. So what happens with a narcissist is when you think that, okay, well, finally, you've got it. We've got a resolution here. We can just kind of nestle up and be all peaceful and great and harmonious. That triggers them so much because they start falling back in, and their disordered, deranged inner being that is this screaming inner child that's been thrown in a corner and is catatonic and off its head, that is screaming, and that starts screaming out, and then they will have to sabotage. So you get into this cycle of violence, and it is a cycle of violence. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be physical, whereby you kind of make up, you think you're in the honeymoon phase, and then the explosion happens. Then you separate either emotionally or literally. Then you either hoover or you cave in, you get back together, and the cycle goes on and on and on and on and on. And normal, healthy relationships have cycles where they're up leveling and growing in solution building and trust and truth and love and harmony together. Whereas, you know, these relationships just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
And one of the things I would love for you to talk about as well, and this is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, but that my misunderstanding was that this is all a conscious effort on the part of the narcissist. But what I've learned is that, right? Because we have this, like, you know, evil scheming kind of like mentality about what a narcissist is, but actually it's all happening kind of like unconsciously and subconsciously. Like, all of this is happening, it's real, but they're not like planning, they're not even thinking about it. It's just so automatic, like that survival to get what they need and to feed off of you, that they're not actually thinking about it much at all.
I like to say to people, they know what they're doing and they don't know what they're doing. Right. Both are true. Right. They can be incredibly scheming. They know what they do and they're amoral. They know it's wrong, but they don't care because the ends justifies the means.
Serves and the means. Yes, exactly.
And the ends is literally survival, because the most terrifying thing for a narcissist would to be locked in a room where they can't access narcissistic supply to be able to escape and self-medicate from themselves. So they've got to do what they do. So they know what they're doing, but they don't know why they're doing it. And what I mean by that is they know that they feel wrong. They're like kind of like a fish in a gold in a bowl looking outside, and they can't access and be in the world in a healthy way. They can't. But they, the truth, which is the same for all of us, why they're doing it is the unmet, unhealed traumas that they've never faced within themselves to process back to wholeness, and they will not do it. They will not do it.
So they never feels like it'll destroy them, right? And so, like, you're not going to plan or pay attention to something that's going to be your own destruction. You're going to do everything you can to avoid that.
They're already past the line. They passed over the line. There's no return. And I have to say, honestly, in the thousands upon thousands and thousands of cases that I've worked with and people over the last 14 years now, I've never seen one credible case of somebody who has moved in a pathological, lying, malicious, cruel acts. All of the things that narcissists, I have never seen one critical. And maybe there is in the world.
I think that's important to say. And I think that's important for people to hear, right? Because I think the majority of us, our human nature is that we want to help people and we want to have hope, right? But there are circumstances in which that's to your own detriment, and you've got to, you know, save yourself first, as they say, and self. And I was so attracted to do this interview because of that term self-partnering that you keep using. I just related to that, and it resonated with me so much.
Yeah. And look, this is a confusing thing. Until you're self-partnered in your boundaries and your values and your truth, you're not going to know the difference. And the difference, because of course there are unconscious people, selfish people, people with their primal traumas that we've all done it, where we can act narcissistically when we're triggered into a
disorder.
Yes, when we're triggered into a trauma, and very often victims will look like a narcissist. Like, it's really hard to tell the difference. But the difference is, and for us, if you're with somebody who is obviously acting like a narcissist, how it looks like for us is I won't participate with that anymore. My life is about my truths and values, things that I don't have to justify, convince you, or change you to for me to have me. I just need to stand and walk my truth. And now, actually, the words mean nothing. It has to be the actions. And the thing is, like, a narcissist will say to you, as my ex-husband did, you know that I'm this and I know that I'm that, and I'll go and get help and I'll go. And if you were to stand, and then they expect you to lay down your arms and go, okay, beautiful, we're back together, you know. And really what that looks like is, okay, well, you know, show me 6 months from a distance.
Right, right.
Okay.
Do the work and then come and show me.
Exactly. And that would need committed humility. See, this is the thing with a narcissist. When they tell you that they're going to take responsibility and heal themselves, and you poke them with a little stick, even a little stick, and you say, well, you know, I don't have trust again. I need to repair. I don't want to be around you. You need to. And they're like, well, you don't love and support me, and now you're making it all about you. And, you know, the five-year-old comes out again that actually has no ability. This is the thing. It's probably, we can't even say they don't want to. They can't and won't. They don't. They just don't. Because somebody, and there are people who have been drug addicts or alcoholics or even selfish or whatever, who take full radical personal responsibility, who go, you know, I don't want to be this person, and I've hurt you so much, and absolutely you can have your space, and I'm so sorry, and I've got a lot of ground to make up to win back your trust and love. And that's perfectly understandable. And I've seen these people in my community who are in those relationships. Now, that is not a narcissist. And if you peel that back and look at that, these are the people that, yes, can have their moments, but then they are genuinely remorseful. And they have been, and they go, look, you know I've got issues. I don't want to be like this. And I'm so sorry I did to that. Yes, I am reoffending, but they will never take that full radical personal responsibility until somebody in their life significant enough takes a stand and says, you know what? You can be the addict. You can be the asshole. You can be whatever you want, but I am not doing it anymore. And actually, by me loving me and taking the stand, I am loving you enough to give you an opportunity to step up, because if I stay, I'm just enabling this. And, you know, I love what Neil Donald Walsh used to say. He said, to allow an abuser to continue abuse is an act of abuse in itself.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Yeah. So when we self-partner and we love and honor and value ourselves, we love, honor, and value the entire field in valuable, worthy ways. And that's what I love about taking the power and truth back.
Oof. Powerful. All right. So I feel I'm conscious of the time. We need, this has been fantastic, but we do need to wrap up for your day and mine. So what would you, if somebody is watching this and they suspect they're in a relationship with a narcissist and they're, you know, a lot of this is resonating with them, what are the first steps? What would you say for somebody that wants to break free from a narcissistic relationship, whether that be a family relationship, a partner, a business partner, a friend? What's that first step?
Okay. You have to detach. Okay. Because you going in and trying and lecturing and prescribing and trying to fix and change, it's like wanting a crocodile to roll over while you rub its tummy. It's not going to work. And you're going to get your limbs ripped off piece by piece. So you have to detach. And then there's the first recognition is what I'm wanting from this person, this love, approval, survival, or security, is because I have lost myself and I've made them my source, and I have got to come back. Beautiful self-talk at the start is so important. Say, talk to your inner being like you would a child you adore. So you would say, you know, something to yourself where you would be like, you know, Megan, I hear you. I know you're hurting. I love you. I'm here with you. I'm never, ever going to abandon you again. We're going to get through this. We're going to heal this. I know what you want from him or her is what we need to fix between us and source. And this is it. And then of course, come over to my website. I've got so many, you know, if you're really, if you've been trying to fix this out with talk therapy or information or research, which is all the normal go-tos, I really want you to drop that and really say, I'm willing, I'm hurting enough to look at this from a different way. Because the thing is, once you get into the Thriver Network and my processes, you can, we have people within, I'm not kidding, days and weeks that are out of that crippling, I am not going to make it pain, into feeling more positive and more hope than they could ever believe they could find. And often people within a few short months, up to 18 months, their lives at every level are completely unrecognizable. Not even just from their life with the narcissist, their life even before the narcissist that they thought was a great life is nothing compared to this. And also too, even if abuse from a small child is all you've ever known, and I promise you that with every fiber of my being, that, yeah, you know, it's like it's like daylight comes after the darkest part of the night. And narcissistic abuse is the darkest part of the night. There's more than hope.
Absolutely. I know everybody's going to want to rush to your website. What is your website? Where can people find out more about you and the Thriver program?
Sure. Okay. So come to melanietoniaevans.com. And you can sign up for, well, absolutely sign up for my newsletter, because it's going to connect you to all of my social media and everything I do, because we are, the MTE team's out everywhere. But also too, I would love you can take the quiz to see the level of narcissistic abuse you're going through. It's all on the front of my website. And for those of you who've just had enough and you really want to heal, the signature program that has created unprecedented breakthroughs, and it's what psychologists and doctors recommend from all over the world, have a look at my narcissistic abuse recovery program. And that gets you into the best of the best with our whole community, a 24/7 forum. We can help you work through co-parenting, parallel parenting, child alienation, you name it. We've got the best minds in the world to help you reverse that and break through that and get property settlements and custody and just all the things, the worst.
All the complicated facts that are intermingled with trying to untangle yourself from a narcissist. Yeah, that's
correct.
Wonderful.
Because they do, they enmesh.
So
they're like a parasite that gets in everywhere and you've got to unhook it. Yeah, we'll help you unhook it.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. That's such a deep level of service for people that I'm sure are feeling like they don't even know where to start. So the fact that it's that all-encompassing and that helpful is wonderful.
It's a one-stop shop from the inside out, powerfully. It really is.
Melanie, thank you very much for being with us today.
Megan, it's been an absolute joy. It really has. And we'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And thank you for what you're doing in the world. It's beautiful.
Thank you.